Beginning Karen Dav Masech, the Shabbos of Kuf Chof Dal. We begin 6 lines up from the top of the Yamin. The Gemara is in the middle of a discussion from the previous Dav, discussing, we went through the whole history of how Muktzah was introduced. That initially there was a hisrashlis, there was a laxity in relation to Muktzah in regards to the whole halachas of Shabbos. And therefore they introduced the concept of Muktzah. And that is, they said that all kelim are aser, besides 3 exceptions, which are things that were commonly used, that were necessary, but everything else was aser. Then they saw people started being more careful in their observance, so then they became more lax and more lax, until finally they said everything is mutter, except for certain kelim, which are klisha malach dan la'isr, certain things that in certain situations are going to be forbidden. And now, our Gemara said on the previous Dava, that there are 4 mishnayis that are seem to say that even things that ultimately that we permitted, that are klisha malach dan la'isr, for example, that are generally used for permitted purposes, that are not malacha purposes on Shabbos, that even if they're being used for tzarech gufa, which is for the essential use of the item, that still those mishnayis make it sound like it's asr. So therefore the Gemara said that obviously these 4 mishnayis were introduced and taught before we were more lenient and ultimately said that these things are not muktzah and that they could be moved litzarech gufa for their own individual purposes. That's what the Gemara wanted to say. Our Gemara begins at that point where Rab is coming to tell us that maybe not, maybe these mishnayis are even applicable today. And for different reasons, they're still going to be muktzah in spite of the fact that on the surface they seem like they should be mutter to move because they're either keil mishal macht and leheter, and that they're being used litzarech gufay, which are things which are generally, we said at subsequently, that they were mutter and they were not usher because of the halachas of muktzah. And then the Gemara begins, Amar Rab, mimai. Again, from where do you know this idea that these things were taught before we were the ultimate heter, that the blanket thing that we said everything is going to be mutter, which would include these type of items? Maybe, as we said before, that these things were taught even after the permission of all different vessels to be used on Shabbos and that they're not included in Muktzah. Now, why are these 4 things going to be different? That's what he comes to explain. Kanim taimamai. Now, what was the whole purpose of these kanim, which were these tubes that were used by the marocha, by the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, the table that had the 12 breads of the lechem upon them? They had different sticks that were between the slices of bread. There was 2 rows of 6. Now, in between the breads, there were these tubes. Now, what were the purpose of these tubes? Mishumei afushei, so that we don't rely on miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, although everything was done miraculously, they were warm on the following Shabbos, like it was just put there. However, we don't rely on miracles, and we don't want the bread to get spoiled, and therefore, if the breads are going to be touching, they're going to get spoiled, so we put these tubes to have that ear could get between them. Now, b'hai purta lemi'afish, in that small amount of time, and that is from the time that it takes on Erev Shabbos, which they would take off the tubes, because again, they said that it's going to be Muktzah. So on Shabbos, they had to take off the old and put on the new. So what they did is on Erev Shabbos, they would take off the tubes. So therefore, the old bread had just a little time from before Shabbos until Shabbos day when they took off the bread. And the new one had only that little time when they put it on until Matzah Shabbos when they would then go ahead and put in the tubes. And that little amount of time, it's not going to get spoiled. And therefore, he's telling us that it's not necessary. The reason why we said that it's muktzah is because there is no tzarech there at all. Because obviously, you're allowed to move something that's a malach d'lehesa, which these tubes are not a malacha that's being done for forbidden. No malacha is being done with it. However, there is no tzarech whatsoever. And that's why we weren't able to move it. Although initially it seemed like that it's a tzarech gufay, because it's necessary to take off the bread and to bring on the new one, we said it's not, because since it could be done from before, and the bread's not going to spoil, that's why over there we said that the tubes are going to be muktzah. Regarding the second item, regarding makleis, which that was the sticks that were necessary that they would put on each other's shoulders and they would skin the carbon Pesach that they were going to eat that night on the 14th of Nisan in the Azara. Why did we say that's usher if that's going to be on Shabbos Erev Pesach? It's of course Efshek Rebbe Elazar, because you could do as Rebbe Elazar, who he said that you put one hand on the other friend's on the his friend's shoulder and his friend puts his hand on his shoulder and thereby that like creates this artificial stick that you put the animal on, then you could skin it that way. That's why, again, there is no tzarech to have this stick. Although, again, it could be considered something that should be mutter generally, but here, since we're providing you an option that would make this stick shaloi letzarech, that's why it's going to be muktzah. Regarding the third item of the gluster of the knob, that we said that it's tiltal gummer, complete movement, we said that we can allow you to like schlep it in a certain way on the ground, but to completely carry it, then we said it's usser. Why is that usser? Again, that was, we said a klisha malach de leheter, that it's necessary for a permitted purpose, that no malach is being done, and still we said even the tzerech gufay to put on a different door, it's going to be usser. That's kedir b'yanai. Damer b'yanai, b'chatzer she'en mu revesuskin, that Rabbi Yanai said that that case is talking about a courtyard that didn't have an Arab joined in it. And that is, there's a lot of houses open to this courtyard without an Arab. Now, the halacha is when you have what's called an Arab generally, but as a courtyard that doesn't have an Arab, is that the different vessels that started their Shabbos and created their Shvisa in the house, that you're not allowed to bring out to the courtyard. But those that were in the courtyard are permitted to be moved around in the courtyard because the chatzar is one rishus for itself. However, the houses are individual for each person, each householder, for each homeowner. And therefore, we view them as separate, although technically they're both rishus hayachids. The rabbanim were concerned that people will not be able to differentiate the differences, and there are a difference because every house is individually owned, versus the courtyard, it's a rishus hayachid, but it's jointly owned with all the people. So therefore, those that were in the courtyard from before Shabbos into Shabbos can be moved over there, but from the house to the courtyard cannot be. And this is where the machloek is that we spoke about regarding the knob, that we said that one mandamer at least says that you can't move it directly, which why we're saying tiltul gomer is also if it's a kalishim lach leheter and letzerch gufa is because Rabbi Shua saver techa pesach. Rabbi Shua held that within the doorway, where that's where the bolt is that you're taking it from, kilifnim dami has the halacha as inside the house and therefore has the status of the house and therefore become a tiltul mona debatim chatzer. If you're going to take the bolt from the doorway into the courtyard to take it to another house, that's carrying from one house, because we're saying the doorway has the halachic status of the house, into the courtyard, which we said that's a problem. That's why he said that you have to drag it. That way we'll let you, because that's called tiltul manatah, that's indirect type of carrying. But tiltul gomer, complete carrying, that's a problem, because you're taking it from one rishus hayachid, which is a house type, which we say is forbidden to a chatzar she'ein merevus that does not have an erev. That's why he says the only way I will let you is an indirect way. However, Tarfon, that he said that it is mutter to totally carry it as regular, is because Savar Techa Pesach Kelechutz Dami. He says that within the doorway it has a status not of the house, rather of outside of part of the Chatzar. Umadah the Chatzar, B'chatzar Kamatalta. And that's why, as we said before, even a courtyard that doesn't have an Erev, however, the utensils, the vessels that were there from before Shabbos throughout into Shabbos, they have the status of the courtyard and they can be carried in the entire courtyard. Therefore, he said it's not a problem to go ahead and then take it from the doorway directly without even a shinui throughout the courtyard. But the idea of it is, the reason why we said that it's aser is because although that it is a klishim lach leheter and the letzarech gufoi is for a different problem because it's tomar chatzar she'ein murevis. And although Reb Tarfon says that it's mutter, that's because he says that it's not taking it from the house of the courtyard versus the other mandama held that Rabbi Shua was saying that yes, it is taken from the house of the courtyard and that's what we have to do indirectly. But not because of the status of mukta. And the fourth item of meducha that we said regarding the mortar, that we said that you're not allowed to carry it if it doesn't have garlic on it, we asked why, it's l'tzarech gufa, is because of Nechemiah. That's going according to the opinion of Nechemiah, that he says in Masechtas Eivin, that even a talis or even any regular bowl or whatever it is, cannot be used only for the tashmish hamayuchala, only for the specific purpose of this item. And therefore, if a talis, you want to use it for something else, you can't. Even if it's being used for a permitted purpose, let's say taking a coat just to put it on the floor so you could sit down and have a picnic. You can't do that. It has to be for what it's used for, which is to wear it as a coat. And that's why over here he says the meducha, this, unless it has garlic, which what's the purpose of it to crush garlic on it, then you can move it. But for any other purpose, even if it's a klishim lach leheter, which is for permitted usages, not of malacha usages, and let's say gufa for using it for itself, not even for its place or for something in the lower level, even that will be usher because it's only for something that it's designated for. And that is, therefore, he says, Rabbi says, it's not dafka to say as you wanted to say, we said on the previous daf, that these four mishnayos were taught before we said that all these different permissions as we got more lax. It's not true. It can be even after all the laxities, but for different reasons, they're going to be usher. And that's why he says it's not a riot. Now we continue on to the next mishnah. Again, talking about the theme of our perek of muktzah. So kol hakelim, all vessels that are allowed to be moved on Shabbos, nitalon letzarech b'shelo tzarech. Now, once they can be permitted to move, it can be permitted to move for its purpose or even for not its purpose. And the Gemara doesn't explain what does that mean. And the Chemiah Eimer, ein nitalon letzarech. And the Chemiah says, as we mentioned before, that it can only be moved for a purpose. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. So we have a machloikis regarding the stuff that can be moved, if they can be moved for its purpose or for not a purpose, or only for a purpose. So the Gemara explains, my letzarech and my shelo letzarech. What does this mean? So Amar Rabba, Rabba's opinion is, Litzayrach, for a purpose, means Davish Amalachti Laheter Litzayrach Gufa, which is the most lenient item. That is the Tanakhama that says that it's permitted to move. He says that, what does it mean, Litzayrach? It means something that it's Malachti Laheter, that means it's for something that's generally used for permitted usage, like let's take a shtender, it's not used to do any malachas with it. And you're also moving it, Litzayrach Gufa, to use it itself, not just for the place. You want to use it because you want to put something down on it and utilize it for a purpose. Shaloi letzayich, what did we say that you can use it for not a purpose? Is davar shemalach lehet letzayich mekoymei? Is something again a permitted usage thing? Let's say that, let's take the standard, but you're moving it shaloi letzayich gufay. When we said that you're moving it for not a purpose is not for a purpose to use itself. You don't want to use the shtender. But you just need the place that it's on. It's taking up someone has a chair and it's a shtender on there. Someone wants to sit down. That's what we said. Shalei letzarech will permit even letzarech mekoymer. So that's shalei letzarech regarding its the item itself. But it's still letzarech mekoymer. That's why you can move it. However, the davish shemalach talis, but the Tana Kama definitely agrees that something that its main objective is to use it for a prohibited activity on Shabbos, that letzarech gufayin letzarech mekoymer loy. For that, only if it's being used for the item itself, let's take a hammer, which is generally used to do malacha, which would be regarding binyan, building, or makam patish. However, you want to use it to crack open a nut, oh, so you're using the hammer, letzarech gufa, that's permitted. But if, let's say, the hammer's on the chair, that would be forbidden. And that is, again, only malach, regarding malach le'isr, there he's only going to permit letzarech gufa. But if you need it regarding a malacha of heter, that's what we're saying. You're using it for permitted, let's say, to break the nuts. But if not letzarech gufa, and you only want the place, then Rabbi goes l'shitas, as we mentioned on Daf Kof Chof Beis, Amin Beis, that regarding the hammer of the smith, that we said that it's permitted also letzarech gufa again, but not letzarech mekaymei, it's only going to be permitted to use it for a permitted activity of the hammer itself. On that, that's where Ibn Chemi comes to say, and he argues on the Tanakh and the Mishnah, and he says, even on an item that is generally used for permitted uses, let's take the shtender. No, only if it's being used for the shtender itself, then you're allowed to move it. But shaloi letzarech, which we're calling letzarech of the place that it's taking up, on that Ibn Chemi says, that's going to be us, even on the kli shemalach de leheter. On that, the Gemara asks on Rabbah's opinion. Omalei Rabbah. Rabbah says to Rabbah, similar to a svar that Rabbi said in the previous daf, letzarech mekoymer shaloi letzarech karis. What you're calling letzarech mekoymer when you're moving the shtender for the place that's taking up, you're calling that moving it shaloi letzarech. What does that mean? What's the difference? Letzarech means you moving it for a purpose. What's the difference if the purpose is to use the item itself or for the place that's taking up? It's still for a purpose. So how can you call when we said it, that Tanakh Kama permits letzarech or shaloi letzarech, that shaloi letzarech for no purpose means for the purpose of the place, that is a purpose. So how can you say that's what it means? Elam Rava, so rather Rava argues, and he says as follows. Letzarech, when the Tanakh Kama says that it can be moved for a purpose, that's davar shemalach de leheter. That's regarding a permitted, an item that's generally used for permitted usages. Bein letzarech gufoy, bein letzarech mekoymer. Those are both included in letzarech, whether you're moving it for the item itself or for the place that it takes up. Shaloi letzarech, when we said the Tanakh Kama permits it even for not a need, that is vafim l'cham letzel. It's even to move it from the sun to the shade. And that has no need whatsoever. You don't need the item or the place that's taking up. You're just concerned that it's going to get ruined in the sun, it's going to get stolen. So therefore you're moving it. That is shaloi letzarech. And even that, the Tanakh Kama says, yes, if it's a permitted item, it's a shtender, you can move it, even for no purpose whatsoever. However, the davar shemalach de leisr regarding an item that's generally used for a prohibited activity like the hammer, then letzarech gufoy uletzarech mekoymer. And that our Mishnah was only talking about items that could be moved. But items that generally are used for prohibited activities, that's only if it's for the item itself or for the place that it takes up. Again, because Rava Lishitasa that says that they're both the same. Tzarech gufoy and tzarech mekoymer are both for a need, for a purpose. And therefore, kli shemalach de leisr could be moved for a tzarech, but mecham letzel loy, but regarding what we're calling shaloi letzarech, not for a purpose, which is from the sun to the shade, that regarding a klisham lachtla isa, like a hammer, if you're concerned the hammer is going to get ruined in the sun or in the elements, that you're not allowed to move. On that, Vos Reb Nechemya Lema, that was Reb Nechemya came to say and argue on the Tanakhama, and he says, even regarding an item that's generally used for permitted usages, like a shtender, regarding those two elements of tzarech gufa and tzarech mekoymer, that you're allowed to mecham letzel loy, but from the sun to the shade, that you're not allowed to. And Rashi tells us, it's important to keep in mind, that according to Rava, that he's establishing in the opinion of Reb Nechemya, that you can move it letzarech gufa and letzarech mekoymer, obviously that this letzarech gufa, to use it for the purpose of the item itself, has to be for its designated purpose that it's generally used for. Like, for example, the shtender would have to be moved from putting a sefer on it. As we mentioned, that Reb Nechemya says that even a talis or even any vessel whatsoever could only be moved for letzarech tashmishim, for the purpose that's generally used for. And even though he's saying that Reb Nechemya would hold it's even permitted to move it letzarech mekoymer for the place that's taking up, Rava, as we mentioned before, obviously holds that that is the equivalent of tzarech gufa, and that's considered for the purpose of the item itself. The space that it takes up is also considered intrinsic to the item. Now regarding Rabbah, that he says that only tzarech gufay, Reb Nechemi says, is mutter. Again, the same idea that it has to be the tashmesh hamiyuchalay for the item, for the designated purpose of what it is. Now, both according to Rabbah and according to Rava, this is obviously when we're saying that Reb Nechemi would allow you to move it, is only by a davar shemalach dilheter. That only by a permitted usage item like a shtender, then we would permit it, and that's what he's arguing on the Tanna Kamma and Mishnah, if it's letzarech gufay, letzarech makomi, then he would allow it. But davar shemalach dilheter, but something that's like a hammer, then even for its purpose itself, that Reb Nechemi would not permit to be moved. Let's say you want to take a hammer to crack open a nut. Because that, again, tzarech gufay is not the designated purpose of the item. Because what's a hammer miyuchid for? It's miyuchid, what's generally used for, is to bang in nails into a building, which is a prohibited activity. And that is the only tzarech gufay you can move it for what it's usually used for. So therefore, klisha malach de l'isra, according to Reb Nechemi, will never be able to be moved, even tzarech gufay, tzarech mekayim, according to both Rabbah and Rava, because he only lets the tzarech gufay of using the hammer itself, or whatever the item is, the shtender, only for what it's generally used for. So a shtender can be used for putting a sefer on it on Shabbos, l'tzarech gufay, and according to the other opinion, even l'tzarech mekayim. But a hammer, the only item that's generally used for, that we allow it, l'tzarech gufay, is a prohibited activity, which obviously cannot be done on Shabbos. So now the Gemara wants to explain l'halacha, how it plays out. Yosef Rav Safra, Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Huna Bar Chanina, these three Amorim were sitting. The Yosef Bekamim, they were sitting and saying as follows. L'Rabba Alibad Rav Nechemya, or according to Rabba's opinion in Rav Nechemya, that he says that that's an item that it's malach de l'heter, that's generally used for a permitted usage, like a shtender, that only l'tzarech gufay can you move it, to use the shtender, but not l'tzarech mekayim, not for the place it takes up. Now, therefore, they had the following question. So, Hanikar is regarding these plates, meaning after we finish eating and it's on the table. How do we move it? In other words, how do we take it out from in front of the people? Again, it's only going to be at Tzarech Mekayim. You don't need the plates anywhere else. You just don't want it here on the table because you want it to be clean. So, according to Rabbah's opinion of the Chemia, how could you ever take off plates from the table if it's only at Tzarech Mekayim and not at Tzarech Gufay? So Amalu Rav Safra, midi dehava grav shel Rei, you're right that according to Reb Nechemi, even a klisha malach de l'heter, which a plate is, what's wrong? What's mukta about a plate? But you're right, although it's an item that's generally used for permitted activities, it still can only be moved, letzerech gufay, to use it itself, not for the place that's taking up. However, there's a different heter that applies to a plate that was used to eat food on, is that it has similar to the heter of a receptacle of waste. And that's a special heter that we give on Shabbos because it's disgusting. And therefore, the Chacham allowed us to take it away. Same thing applies to a plate that was eaten on. It's not proper to have it on the table, and that's why we permit you to take it away and bring it back into the kitchen. Similar discussion. Amalei Abai l'Rabba. Abai told to Rabba, who he's the one that said this opinion of Nechemya, Lamar to the master, meaning you, Rabba, Ali Rabba Nechemya. Again, that it's only mutl l'tzarech gufay. Even klisha malach l'heter, regular usage items that are not used for prohibited activities on Shabbos, it can only be moved for itself, and not for the place that's taken up. How can you move a plate after you finish eating if you're not taking it away for the plate itself, just for the place that it's taking? So Amalei said to him, Rav Safra Chavrin Tirgema, our friend Rav Safra, he already interpreted, as we just mentioned, Midin Hava Gav Sharei, that it will have the same application of the heter of a receptacle of waste. Now the Gemara discusses these two opinions of Rabba and Rava regarding their interpretations in the opinion of our Mishnah and in the interpretation of Reb Nechemya. Esrei by Rava. We learned Meducha im yesh ba shum metalten leiser. Regarding a mortar, if it has garlic inside of it, then we'll allow to move the mortar because of the purpose that it's fulfilling of carrying the garlic. Vim lav e metalten leiser. But if not, if it doesn't have garlic inside of it, then you can't move the mortar. Now, the question was that we understand according to Rabba that, for example, if in this case you're not moving it for the mortar itself, you would only be moving it for the place that it's taking up. And that's why, according to Rabbah, we would understand why it's going to be us, as we just mentioned, because his interpretation in Reb Nechemya is that it's only permitted, letzarech gufay, not letzarech mekame. So therefore, if it doesn't have garlic on it, so this item would not be able to be moved because it's only for its place. But according to you, Rabbah, that you say that even Reb Nechemya says that a kli, shemalach de l'heter, could be moved, for not only for the usage of the item itself, but even for the place that's taken up. Now, why would there ever be a case of meducha, of a mortar, which is a klisha malach l'heter, that it can't be moved? So he says, which is even a lower level, as we mentioned before, that if you want to move it just from the sun to the shade, that Reb Nechemya argues, and he says that that's considered shaloi l'tzarech. That's the way Rava gave his interpretation. In the Mishnah, in the Machlekes between the Tanna Kamma and Nechemya, even that Reb Nechemya would agree that you can't move, and that's why we're talking about the Menducha, that you can't move, is talking about from the sun to the shade. Similar discussion, the Gemara says, Eisva, yes, the following question. We learned, Bishavin, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree, Shem Kitzav Lav Basar, that once you, although they have a machlokes regarding if you're allowed to take a pestle and go ahead and chop meat on it, but they both agree that once you did it already, Sha'asal Talde, now you can't move it anymore. Now, why can't you move it? It's a Klisham Lach Leheter, and for even Letzerech Gufa, all Letzerech Makami, you say that everybody agrees, even Nechemi, that you can move it. Why would it be Asr? So, Achanami says, Mecham Latil, here we're also talking about from the sun to the shade, and that's why you can't move it. But now the Gemara asks a question that seems to be difficult according to everybody. But now this that we learned in the Mishnah, Ein Slim Chenes HaKadeir, because you're not allowed to support, if you want to support a pot and keep it straight, you cannot support it with a piece of wood. B'chim Medelis, and also with a door, which the Gemara in Beya interprets this to mean that also a door you cannot support with a piece of wood. And it's talking about on Yom Tov. So the question is as follows. V'habikas, but regarding a piece of wood, on Yom Tov, a piece of wood is considered an item that is used for, it has a permitted usage. And that is because, what do you use wood for? To heat up a fire. And on Yom Tov, you're allowed to go ahead and heat up a fire and use firewood. And still we say that it's usher to move it, letzayach gufay, for using the wood itself for a different purpose, which is to just support a pot. Now, that's, you're taking a klisha malach leheter, because on Yom Tov, this is something that's not usher to use it for its designated purpose of making a fire, because you could go ahead and add it to the fire on Yom Tov. And still we're saying, letzerech gufay, to use it for the wood itself, just to support something else, you can't use it, and definitely you can't use it, letzerech mekami, which is on the lower level. Now, therefore, the Gemara asks, Alma, so you see, davar shemalach leheter, that's something that's used for, that has a permitted usage, that bein letzerech gufay, bein letzerech mekami, also that whether even for using it itself or for the place it's taken up, it's usher. Now that's contradictory to everything we just said. Another Gemara says, Hasa my time. What's the reason over there? That's an exception, that halacha, why it's usher to take the piece of wood and use it to support the door, to support the pot. And that is because kiven the Shabbos, davar shemalach leesuhu, since on Shabbos, a piece of wood is an item that's used for a forbidden purpose, because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go ahead and add fire to the flame, because on Shabbos, that's usher. So, and Yom Tov is different because you have Oichel Nefesh, where that's the one difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, and that's why it's considered Malach Lehatu. But since on Shabbos it's usher, Gezerah Yom Tov, Otur Shabbos. We made a Gezerah on Yom Tov because of Shabbos, that we said that since on Shabbos it's usher, because as we said that the piece of wood on Shabbos is a Malach Tov Le'isser, so on Yom Tov it's also Isser because we're concerned that if we allow you to do it on Yom Tov, and therefore we might come to do it on Shabbos, and on Shabbos it's usher. Now the Gemara asks, and if you're going to say that even Shabbos it should be mutter, what do you mean? We're saying that we say that on Yom Tov it's usher because of Shabbos. Now, wait a second. Shabbos itself it shouldn't be mukta. Why? The hadavah shemalach dele iser, because even something that its purpose is to do forbidden activities with it, which the piece of wood generally uses firewood. Now, still we say letzerech gufa letzerech mukamishari, that you say that if it's being moved to use it itself, which here it's to be used as a support for a pot or for a door, or for the place it's taking up, that it's mutter. And even some opinions, even according to Rabbi Nechemi, that it's going to be mutter. So now why on Shabbos would we say that it's going to be usher to say that Yom Tov is because of Shabbos, but Shabbos itself shouldn't be muktzah? So Hanemili the Gemara says, Heichadika Torah is Kli'alav. When did we say that on Shabbos, a Kli Shemalach Le'heter, it could be a kli, even kli shemalach le'ister, could be moved, letzayach guva, letzayach mekaymai, that's if it has the status of a vessel on it. As we say, kli shemalach le'ister, it's at least a vessel. Heichad, the lekater is kli lav loy, but where it doesn't have the status of a vessel, then even if you're using letzayach guva, letzayach mekaymai, then it would be prohibited to move it on Shabbos. And this is what's known as muktzah machmas gufay. It's a very low level, it's a very stringent area of muktzah that it's considered intrinsically muktzah, because it has no intrinsic purpose. If it's at least a kli, so although it's generally used for prohibited activities, so it's a kli shemalach le'isser, however, but it at least it has a usability. And therefore it's a vessel, and therefore we say that's not such a high level of chumrah of mukta, and therefore letzerech guf letzerech mekami, you could move it. However, this, which it's not a kli, it's firewood, it's not used as a vessel, so therefore we're saying that even letzerech guf letzerech mekami is going to be asan Shabbos, and therefore we say that we're goyzer yom tevatu Shabbos. But now the Gemara asks on the premise that we said, do we really make a gzeirah to say that Yom Tov will have the same halachas of Shabbos, because we're concerned if we allow it on Yom Tov, we might come to do the same thing on Shabbos? But now we learn the Mishnah in Beit that says, Mashilin peiris derech aruva b'Yom Tov, we'll allow to throw down the fruits through the skylight on Yom Tov, avaloi b'Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. And therefore, here we see explicitly that we say avaloi b'Shabbos, that Shabbos is going to be different than Yom Tov. And that is when you have produce that are spread out on the roof, they would dry it over there, would get the sun down over there, and you see the rain is starting starting to come. So what you could do is you can throw it down quickly through the skylight down into the house, because it's not such a tirch, it's not such a difficult thing to be doing, because it falls by itself. So obviously that we do not make a gzeira on Yom Tov Atur Shabbos, that although we say that on Shabbos you're not allowed to do it, but on Yom Tov, because it's not such a tirch, we allow you to do it. Now, you just said that we make a gzeira. If we can allow you to do it on Yom Tov, it should be us on Shabbos. And here we say that we're not concerned with that. But then the Gemara asked back to the question. What do you mean? Do we not make a gzeir of Yom Tov Atur Shabbos? But no, we learned in the Mishnah. Ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos el neichel nefesh b'vad. There is no difference in halacha between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Only eichel nefesh, which that's a pasuk that we learn now. That's things that are being done for eating purposes, like cooking, different things that are permitted for food, that we allow. But everything else is the same. So therefore you see, obviously, that we do make a gzeir and say that Yom Tov is Atur Shabbos. So then how do we reconcile these two Tanoic opinions, these two Mishnayos? Obviously, on one level, there's definitely one Mishnah that's saying that what we said is correct, that you do make a gzeir Yom Tov Atur Shabbos. So what's the understanding of the other opinion that says, wait, there is a difference regarding the skylight of letting the fruit down? And that Gemara says, I'm going to be some loy kasha, and that is, the answer that we gave was definitely valid. We do make a gzeir of Yom Tov Atur Shabbos, and that's why it's not difficult on the opinions that we were saying regarding the halachas of how we paskin on Klisha Malach Deleisa. However, here it's different, because Horeb Eliezer, Horeb Yeshua. And that is, it's this that we said, that you can put the fruits and throw it down through the skylight, that permitted doing a tircha Yom Tov because of loss of money, that's Rabbi Yeshua, as we're going to see in a moment, that he permits elevating an animal from a pit with doing a sort of a type of a trick. But it's since because of a loss of money, he allows you to do something that's not totally permitted on Shabbos. But this that we said, that ain bain, that there is no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, that is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, as the Gemara brings. The Tanya is learning the Braisa. Oisav es benoi shenafel lebar. Regarding an animal and its son that fell into a pit, which now you cannot slaughter both of them on the same day, and it's on Yom Tov. So the question is, what do? They're both in the pit. You want to get them out because it's dangerous over there, and you don't want the animal to die, and there's a possible loss of money. So to take out one to slaughter it is okay, but then you can't take out the other one because you won't be able to slaughter both on the same day anyway. So therefore, there's no head to do the tircha, because the only way of doing the tircha would be if there was a purpose of eichel nefesh. So that we have machlokes. You bring up the first one, whichever one you want to take out, and you bring it up and you to slaughter it, and then you can slaughter it because that's a permitted tircha to do for eichel nefesh. But the second one you can't take out because there's no more Yom Tov purpose for it anymore. So therefore you can support it in its place that it shouldn't die. You do whatever it's necessary to keep it alive, but you can't take it out. No. He says, yeah, you take out the first one and say, I want to slaughter it, and that you're allowed to do for Yom Tov. But then you say, then you don't slaughter it. You go, I don't know, this one doesn't look so great. And then you do some type of a trick, and you take out the second one because you say, oh, I think the second one looks like it really has better cut of meat, and then you take it out. And therefore, Ratzah Zer Sheikh, if you want to slaughter this one, you could slaughter this one. Now, once you have them both out, you could do whichever one you want. And therefore, that resolves the two Mishnayos. The one that says that you can Yom Tov, we could be more makel, that's obviously going according to Pinyin Rebbe Shua, that it says that because of loss of money, which the same in the produce and same in the animals, that he allows you to do this type of a tircha. However, the other pin that says there is no difference, that's Pinyin Rebbe Lezer, says no. You could only do one, and you can't do more than what's necessary. Another Gemara asked me, my. How is that the understanding of saying that it's necessarily these opinions of Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua? Dilma Adkan, like come Rabbi Elazar, and maybe there is different. And maybe there Rabbi Elazar said that Yom Tov is as chomer as Shabbos, and therefore he says you're not allowed to take out the second animal. It's because the Eld Efshel Parnasa, because it's possible that you won't have a loss of money because you could support it where it is. Although it's not as like a tchila as taking it out, but you could support it. But maybe where it's not possible to support it and therefore will be a definite loss of money, then maybe there he'll say that Yom Tov is more lenient and that you would be able to have the fruits thrown down on Yom Tov, and that Yom Tov will not be the same as Shabbos. And Inami, or maybe you could say the reverse also. Adkan lekam Rabbi Shua Hassam. Maybe there Rabbi Shua said to be lenient regarding the Tircha and Yom Tov, you could take out the second animal also. It's because the Efshar Barama, because it's possible to do this trick that it looks like that you're doing it. L'Tircha Yom Tov, you're saying, wait a sec, I want this one for, oh, wait a sec, I want this one. So it's not so usher in the sense that it looks like you're doing L'Tircha Yom Tov. But maybe where it's not possible to do it with a trick, then not. Let's say, for example, here where you're throwing the fruits down from this through the skylight, from the roof down into the house, where it's obviously doing a tircha that's not letzarech Yom Tov, and therefore it doesn't seem like something emotive. Maybe he would say that it's aser. So therefore, that you cannot say the resolution of these two mishnayos are these two tanoim, because it's not, and that's lav davka, each one could be the other. So the Gemara said, "Elam Rav Papa loy kashri." Right? It's different tanoim. Habisham habisil. The one that says that Yom Tov is chomer as Shabbos, that ain bain, that's Beishame. The one that says that Yom Tov is more lenient, that's Beis Hill. The not as we learned in the Mishnah. Beishame, I mean Beishame, say we continue on to Amud Beis. Ein moitzin es hakotn v'salulav v'sei v'toyer l'shus rami. And I'll take out a child, a lulav, v'sei v'toyer to the public domain because that's a hitzah shaloi l'tzarech. He's taking them out without a need. And that is, we didn't allow you, like a tchila, to carry on Yom Tov more than on Shabbos, only for eichel nefesh purposes, only the things which are necessary for food items. And here, to carry the child on the lulav v'sei v'toyer, which is not eichel nefesh, we didn't allow you to carry that into l'shus rami, even on Yom Tov. However, Beisil Matir, Beisil says that it's mutter. No, we let all type of itzois on Yom Tov. And that is obviously that he's the one that says that Mashilin, that you could go and throw the fruits down from the roof on Yom Tov, because he's lenient on Yom Tov more than Shabbos. That it's not the same like Shabbos and just that we allow Ochel Nefesh. We allow a much broader area, and therefore we're not concerned that you're going to come to do it after Shabbos. And therefore, Beisil is the Tanoic opinion that says that you could let it down. And Beisham says there's no difference, that Yom Tov is the same as Chamer Shabbos. He's the one that says over here that Eimetzin is a cotton, that we're Machmer, that we don't allow anything more on Yom Tov than on Shabbos than what it says explicitly in the Pasuk of Ochel Nefesh. On that, the Gemara asks, when did Beishamai say this chamra, that Yom Tov is the same as Shabbos and we don't allow any other carrying? That's haitzah. That's regarding transporting from one rishus to another rishus. Teltel Mishamelu, did you ever hear anything regarding muktzah, regarding moving things, that he said that Yom Tov is the same as Shabbos? Well, haitzah is a malacha d'iraisa. What does that have to do with teltel, which is a malacha d'rabbanan? It was two different things. And that the Gemara says, no, it's the same thing. Don't you think that tilta, moving an item, which we gave it the status of muktzah, is not a part and parcel and a reason because of the melacha b'itzah of transporting? And that is, if you're going to be mezalzel, you're going to be disregard the melacha of muktzah, you're going to come to disregard the melacha b'itzah. And that is one of the understandings of the pinya of muktzah, is because that we don't let you just move things, because then you might come to carry them outside into another domain. And therefore, b'shamay, that's machmer. And regarding Hitzah, he's definitely machmer on Tiltel also, because Tiltel is part and parcel of the Malach of Hitzah, that we don't allow you to move different items so that you shouldn't come to carry out into Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, that resolves the two Mishnayos. One of them is Bishami, one of them is Bisil. And therefore, now the Gemara stands where it did before it started this whole discussion, that Rav's opinion still stands, and it's not challenged from all the questions that we asked. And that is, as he said before, and Rav's opinion stands just like Rav. But now the Gemara says, "V'af Rav savalok lahad Rava," that Rav also agrees to the opinion of Rava, and as we said before, that Rava holds that letzayich mekaymai is the same as tzayich gufay, and therefore, like even Rav Nechemia, anyone that would hold that you're allowed to move an item, for example, klishon la'achti le'iser, could be moved not only tzayich gufay but even letzayich mekaymai. As we said, all the questions were answered. Dama Rav, as Rav said, that ma regarding a hoe, Shaloy Yiganev, that you want to move it, that it shouldn't get stolen, which is equivalent to the case of Chamal Atzel, to move it from the sun to the shade, because it has no purpose whatsoever. In other words, not for the item that you want to use, not for the place that's using, it's just because you're concerned about something, but it's not for a real purpose that you need right now. And that's Usr by a Dava Shemalachti Le'Isr. On that he says, Zehu Tiltu Shaloy Le'Tzarech V'Asr. So since it's a Kli Shemalachti Le'Isr, which we only allowed you letzarech gufa letzarech mekaymai, but this to move it to shouldn't get stolen, that's shaloi letzarech, and that's aser. So that the Gemara says, time shaloi yigan, the reason why Rav said that it's aser, so it shouldn't get stolen. Letzarech gufa letzarech mekaymai mutar, but obviously he held like Rava, that if you wanted to move it letzarech gufa letzarech mekaymai, then even the klisha malachti le'iser would be allowed to be moved. And therefore, that's the same opinion as Rava, and that's Rav and Rava say the same thing. And then the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really true that Rav says like Rava? But we have a different story that seems to contradict this. Rav Kahana equally be Rav. Rav Kahana once came to Rav's house. V'amar, and Rav said, go bring Rav Kahana a trap, you know, that was used to trap, but bring it to him so that he could sit on it. They needed an item, they ran out of chairs, bring him a trap that he could sit on. Now, lav lememra, isn't that story, the way Rav said it, coming to show you that when you have a kli shemalach le'iser, which what a trap is generally done for prohibited activity of tzeda, of trapping on Shabbos, that you can move it to use it, which is to sit on it. But for the place that it took up, that you can't. Because why did Rav have to say this explicitly, that, oh, it's for him to sit on it? Isn't he trying to tell you that that's why you're allowed to move it, because of tzerech gufay, but if it was just for the place, then it would be usr, which seems to contradict what we just said, that Rav will not be saying like Rav. Another thing he says, no, this is what he said to them. Shekulu shusa mikmei kahana. Take the trap away from Kahan, and let him sit in the place that it took up. And that's, yes, exactly, that's L'tzarech Mekameh that Rav permits, like Rav, not only Tzarech Kufa, but even Tzarech Mekameh by Klisha Melachta L'Issa. Vibay Seymour, another answer to what to how to resolve that story, is Hasim Mecham L'Tzel Hava. There, it was an incident of taking it from the sun to the shade, and that is, that trap was in a place which was it was bad for it. It was going to get ruined in the elements over there in the sun. Now, if he didn't say explicitly that we're taking it for Rav Kahan to sit in it, the one that was would see the incident would have thought that you're allowed to move with Klisha Melachta L'Issa, even what's called Mecham L'Tzel, even with no tarich whatsoever, just that it shouldn't get ruined. And therefore, because of that, he had to say that we're using it for Rav Kahana, not because it wouldn't be permitted if it's L'Tzarech Mekameh, because the one that would see would think that it's from Mecham L'Tzel, and that's why he had to say it, but really he holds like Rava, and those are the two answers to resolve that really Rav holds like Rava. Now the Gemara brings a story. Rav Mori Bar Rochel, Havel Ahi Beisidyusa B'Shimshim. He had a certain pillows, blankets made out of felt, and he had it was in the sun, so it's getting ruined. Asli Kami the Rava, so it came in front of the Rava. Amalei Mao Little Tlinu says, what's the halacha? Is it muktzah? Can I move it from the sun to the shade? Amal Hushari says, it's permitted. And that is as we said before, Rava L'Shitasai, that he says that even something that's a malachti leheter, that it is a permitted usage, then even from the sun to the shade, you're allowed to move it. If it was a klesh malachti le'issa, then not. But since a pillow and blankets are things that are permitted usages, you don't do malachas with them. So therefore, you're allowed to move it even from the sun to the shade, even if it has no purpose whatsoever. So he said it's permitted. But Rav Mori Bar Rochel responded, but Islechrina, I have others. In other words, I don't need a legufa, I don't have to use it. You know, so he's concerned about it. What do you mean? I can move from the sun to the shade? There's no tzarech gufa over here. So he responded to him, Chazal Archin, it's still fit for guests. He was trying to tell him, like, you know, even if you want to say l'tzarech gufa, you can use it for your guests. This is Isli Nami L'Archim, I have enough pillows and blankets for my guests. So Amalei said to him, look, Galisa Daitrich the Karabas Vilach, you're obviously revealing to me that you hold like Rabba. That Rabba says, not like me, he says that to move from the sun to the shade is usher even by Klisha Malachti Leheter. And that when we said in our Mishnah that Klisha Malachti Leheter is mutter, the Tzarech Vashalei Letzarech meant for the Tzarech Gufa and the Tzarech Mekameh, but from the sun to the shade was never mutter. Now the halacha is really like Rabba, that he says that a Klisha Malachti Leheter is totally mutter to be moved. And a Klisha Malachti Leheter is mutter l'tzarech gufoy and mekoymoy, but from the sun to the shade, it's usser. If you're moving it just so it shouldn't get stolen, if let's say you have a hammer, you can't move it from the sun to the shade or it shouldn't get stolen. But he says, look, you obviously tell me that you hold a grab because you keep on asking me these questions of what it means, I don't need it, whatever, so obviously you think that it has to have a usage. So the kula amashari l'didach asser. According to everybody, it's mutter, as we just said, because halacha follows rabba. And therefore, from the sun to the shade, you could move it. But for you, it's also because you hold like Rabba, who he holds that the Kalisha Malachti Lehetri even cannot be moved from the sun to the shade. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings it, Amar Rab Abba, Amar Rab Chir Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Machpedis, regarding brooms. And these are brooms that they use to clean up the table. Shel Milsif, they're made out of cloth. That is, these are different garments that they use, like a shmata to use to clean up the table, which is a klisha malachti leheter, because you don't do any malachas with it. So mutul otad l'mashabbos, a lot of movement on Shabbos. Avoshal tomorrow loy, but regarding the brooms that are made out of palm leaves, that these are the types of brooms that they use to clean up the house. A broom that's, you can't use a broom to clean up a house. And that, therefore, it's a klisha malachti le'isser. Why is that? Because we're concerned that you might come, and when you're doing it, you're going to smooth out the different, they had, their floors were made out of earth, and if it would be brushing the ground, you're going to smooth out the pits, which would be either malach of boina, and therefore, even Reb Shimon agrees in such a case, although it's davish in maskam, you're not intending to do it, but it's a psik reish of l'yemes, it's inevitable that when you're sweeping, you're going to smooth out the holes. So therefore, that's a prohibited activity, it's a malach of d'iraisa, of doing that on Shabbos, because you're going to be building the house by smoothing out the grounds. So therefore, it's a klisha malachti l'isser, and therefore that you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar Omer, afshal tamar. Rabbi Elazar says, no, even these brooms made out of the palm leaves that are used to sweep the floor, even those are permitted to be moved, they're not muktzah on Shabbos. My skin, the Gemara says, what is the case of it? If we're saying to move these brooms to use it for itself, you want to use it to break nuts or whatever it is, all for the place, it's on the chair and it's taking up a space, and that is, regarding, you want to use it for a purpose of heter, right? L'tzarech gufa, l'tzarech mekameh. So then the challenge for that is, b'hal lema rav shal tomorrow lo'i, is Rav going to say in such a case that if it's made out of palm leaves, you're not allowed to? What do I mean? V'hal rav k'rav esvirle, we just spent time now explaining and showing how Rav holds a grava. That even a kli shemalachti le'isser, which the palm leaves, I agree, it's a kli that's generally used for a prohibited activity, which to clean the floor of made out of earth is going to be doing a malacha d'iraisa. But still, even though it's a kli shemalachti le'isser, if you're moving a l'tzarech gufay and l'tzarech mekaymai, even that Rav says you are allowed to move, so why would it be muktzah? So Ela Mechamatzel, you have to be talking about a case that those brooms, you want to move it from the sun to the shade. On that, Rav and Rava, everyone agrees that from the sun to the shade, it's prohibited to be moved if it's a klishon malachta le'iser. On that, the question is, so what in Bahal Lame Rebbe Lazar Afshal Tamar? On this, Rebbe Lazar is going to say even the palm leaves that if it's that you're allowed to move it, but a davash malachta le'iser, something that's generally used for prohibited activity, which is the broom that's used to sweep the floor, which is baina, nobody says that it's motor to move it from the sun to the shade. So therefore, what would be the understanding of Rebbe Lazar then? So that the Gemara says, L'oylem Mecham Latzal. Now, we're talking about moving from the sun to the shade, and that's what Rav says, that it's usher because a klishon malachta le'iser, that's generally used for prohibited activity, cannot be moved from just to protect it if it has no real immediate purpose of a tzayach guf etzem rechemeh. However, Eima, you have to be gairus, you have to learn that the words were v'chein amar Rebbe Lazar, and so too Rebbe Lazar says that if it's made out of cloth, then it's mutter to move it because it's a kli shemachta leheter. But if it's made out of palm leaves, then it's aser because it's a kli shemachta leister, and that cannot be moved from the sun to the shade. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on the theme of the halach of this parak of muktzah. So the Mishnah begins, Kol ha-kelim ha-nitolim b'Shabbos, regarding old vessels that are allowed to be moved on Shabbos, that they're not muktzah. So shivrei nitolim on, their broken pieces also could be moved with them. They're also not considered muktzah. However, there is a prerequisite. As long as it could still do some semblance of a malacha, of some type of a work. And that is, even if it's not what the original purpose of the keli was, however, now that part of it broke, you could still use that piece, but as long as it could do something, it still has some type of a purpose. If it has no purpose, then it's going to be muktzah. As the Mishnah explains. For example, shivri areva, the broken pieces of a mixer. So it's generally used to mix dough inside of it. So now that it broke, as long as l'chas has been this piachavis, if the piece can be used to cover the opening of a barrel, so then it's still considered a kli, and it won't be muktzah on Shabbos. Shivri schuchas, let's say the broken pieces of a glass. So then l'chas has been this piapach, as long as the piece is usable enough that it can be covering the opening of a jug, it will not be muktzah. However, Behuda Amir Behuda argues, and he says, no, it needs a greater level of usage. B'vachi oisin me'in malachton, as long as it still has a semblance of the original usage of that item. For example, shivar reva, the broken pieces of a mixer. Now, a mixer was used to mix dough inside of it. It's not enough to go ahead, like the Tanna Kama said, and use it to cover the opening of a barrel, because that's not what it used to do. Rather, lotzik l'teichen mikveh has to be usable enough that you could pour inside of it some type of porridge, which that is similar, since it's very thick, it's similar to dough, which was mixed with water, that is similar to the original purpose of what it had. Let's say the case of a glass, lotzik l'teichen shemen, that you'll pour inside of oil inside of it, that is just like a glass, you pour items inside of it. Here it's not enough to say, as the Tanna Kama said, that it's used to cover a jug. That's not what it was used to as a receptacle. It has to be enough that you could pour in some oil in it, and therefore it'll serve the purpose as at least a semblance of the original purpose that it had. That's the machlokes in our Mishnah regarding the broken pieces that are not considered muktzah, if it's enough to be just considered usable as any type of vessel, or at least a semblance of its original usage as a vessel. Now the Gemara goes to explain this machlokes of our Mishnah. I'm reviewing the Mishmul. Machloikis shenishbam erev Shabbos. This whole machloikis between the Tanna Kama and Yehuda was only if it was broken from before Shabbos. Demar savar, because Rabbi Yehuda holds, me'ein malachton in, if it at least has a semblance of its original malacha, of what it's used to being used for, then you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, and it's still considered a vessel, not muktzah. Me'ein malacha acheres lai, but if it has just a usage of a different purpose, like as a covering, which is not what it used to do, that wouldn't be good enough. Umar savar fil me'ein malacha acheres, and the Tanna Kama held it, even if it's still the usage of any other keli, it's still going to still have the status of a keli. But if it breaks on Shabbos, there divrei hakol mutar, and there everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yehuda, that it's going to be mutar. And the reason is, since it was prepared from before Shabbos because of its father, which is the original keli, when Shabbos started, so mutar, muktzah status starts on Bein HaShemashos, when Shabbos is starting. Was it prepared? Was it not prepared? That's what muktzah means. It was set aside from being prepared. Or mukhan means that it's prepared, and therefore it's a kli. It could be used and moved on Shabbos. So therefore, this item, this vessel, when Shabbos started, it wasn't broken yet. So therefore, it wasn't muktzah. So therefore, even if it breaks on Shabbos, as long as it has somewhat of a usage, it's still going to be purposeful and useful. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, even if it won't be used for the purpose of the item itself, it's not going to be muktzah. However, if it broke before Shabbos, then when the status was starting, then we have to view it if it's still what it originally was, or if it's enough as somewhat of a purpose. And then the Gemara asks on this interpretation of the machlokes, Moisiv Rav Zutroi. We learned as follows. Masikin Bekalim, we're allowed to, on Yom Tiv, go ahead and heat up a fire with vessels. You're allowed to take a garment or whatever it is because these things are permitted to be moved. They're not muktzah. And you're allowed to put into the fire because on Yom Tiv, you're allowed to go ahead and add fuel to the fire. However, we cannot fuel the fire with broken pieces of vessel because, as we said, broken pieces are muktzah, and therefore, since they're not usable to be moved, so you can't go ahead and move it to put into the fire. And that the question is, dinishbu emas, regarding this Tanoik opinion, when did the kalim break? Ilim dinishbu me'erv Yom Tiv, if we're talking about that it broke from before Yom Tiv, what do you mean? It's a regular piece of wood. What do you mean? It broke from before Yom Tiv, so therefore it's used for firewood. No one's going to use it anymore. It's broken pieces, shards, which we take all these broken pieces and use it to fuel a fire. Why would we not be able to move the Shibri Kam to use it as fuel? Obviously, it's that it broke on Yom Tiv. And still, Ukutani, we learned that you're allowed to fuel a fire with regular, full-fledged vessels and utensils, but not with broken pieces. And that is, we do not say that it was prepared, it was considered muchan, agav avin, through the father, through the vessel. Rather, we say that, no, it's noilid, it was created today, and therefore it's asur. So that's not like your interpretation that you said, according to everybody, if it broke on Shabbos, it's going to be mutter. Here we see explicitly not, that you cannot use the broken pieces that broke on Yom Tov, because we see it as something new. And the new entity is considered muktzah. So therefore he argues and he says, aliyat mahochid, rather, the way you have to interpret the machlekes na mishnah is the other way. Amar Yehuda Meshmol. Machloikis shenishbaru Shabbos, all machloikis was if it broke on Shabbos. Demar savar muchanhu, that one of them held that it's considered prepared, since it's at least used, the Tanakama held, for some purpose, for some malacha, and therefore it's not considered muktzah. Umar savar noilidhu, however, Rabbi Huda held that it's considered that noilid, something new is born over here, because yesterday it wasn't fit for this malacha. And that's why Rabbi Huda held that it has to be me'ein malachtai, from the original usage, or else we view it as a new creation. Although it's still usable as a kli, but it's a different kli. It's a covering now. It's not a glass that it used to be. But if it broke on Erev Shabbos, there everybody would agree that it's mutter. And the reason is, as we said before, since it broke from before Shabbos, so now for whatever purpose it is, when Shabbos is starting, we view it whatever status it's at. That is, it's a covering and it's not a glass anymore, fine. Whatever it is, but there everyone's going to agree since it's prepared. For whatever malacha it is, even if it's not what it used to be, it's going to be okay to use in Shabbos. And that's why he argues and he says that's the understanding of the interpretation of our Mishnah, that the machlekes is only if it broke on Shabbos, but it broke before Shabbos. To the contrary, everyone would agree that it's not going to be muktzah. Now the Gemara brings three brises that all contradict each other. Tana Chada, we learned in one brisa, Masikim Mekalim Ve Masikim Meshibakam. Regarding the halacha that we just brought down to use to explain our Mishnah, we have three different brises. One says that you could heat up a fire on Yom Tov with vessels, but you can't do it with broken pieces. The second brisa says, V'tani Idach, K'shim Shem Masikim Mekalim, Kach Masikim Meshibakam. Just like you could heat up a fire on Yom Tov with Kalim, with vessels, you could do it with broken pieces also. Yet V'tani Idach, the third brisa says, E Masikim Loi Bekalim, Loi Meshibakam. You're not allowed to heat up a fire on Yom Tov now with vessels and now with the broken pieces. How do we resolve this? And this the Gemara says they're going according to three different Tanoik opinions. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the one that says that you can heat up a fire with vessels, but you can't use it with broken pieces of vessels, that's because it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, who he holds of the halacha. He has a very broad application of the halacha of muktzah and of noilid, and therefore vessels, they're not muktzah because you can use a shirt or a bowl or a cup for whatever you want to use it for, but broken pieces are noilid because they're not what they used to be, and therefore a new item is born that cannot be used for a fire. Ha, the brisa that says that you can heat up with both of them, both with the vessels and the broken pieces, that's going according to Rabbi Shimon, that he doesn't have these broad applications of muktzah and noilid, and therefore he does not consider the broken pieces as noilid because it's still usable, and therefore we view it as what it always used to be, and it's not noilid, and similarly the kalim are not muktzah either. And ha, and the brisa that says that even vessels you're not allowed to use, that was going according to Rabbi Nechemiah, that he says, as we mentioned, the Omer Aleph, that a vessel is only be able to move for what it's designated for. And this one is not designated for using as fuel, as fire. Use a bowl or a cup or a shirt to use it for what it's for. And therefore, not only is Shivri Kalim not able to be moved on Shabbos, but even the Kalim cannot be moved on Yom Tov to use as fuel for fire, because that's not what it's designated for. And even the Klisham Lach de Laheter cannot be moved for anything else but what it's designated for. And that resolves all three brises. So now the Gemara moves on. Amar Rav Nachman, Hani Livni D'Ishtarim B'Binyan. Regarding these bricks that are left over from building, and that is they completed the construction and they left it over. Now it's not necessarily for building anymore. People just use it to sit on them. So therefore, it has a status of a kli, of a chair, of a bench, because that's what they use it for. So therefore, Shori L'Taltalin, you're allowed to move it on Yom Tov and Shabbos. The Chazal L'Mizgalai, because it's fit to sit on it. However, Sharginu, if it was piled up one on top of the other, then Vade Aktina, then definitely you set it aside. Obviously, you're keeping it. You didn't just let it be here and people use it to sit on it like stools. Obviously, you're preparing it to use it for another building. You're going to move it to the other site. And then it is considered Muktzah, and you wouldn't be able to move it because then, again, it's not a permitted item. Then it's a prohibited item. Nothing more goes back to what we were speaking about the broken pieces. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Cheres Ketana Mutl Talt B'chatz, a small piece of a pottery, you're allowed to move it in a courtyard, and that is because there, in the courtyard, there's a lot of vessels around, and this piece of pottery is usable to use as a covering, and therefore we give it a status of a kli, and therefore it's not muktzah, so therefore you're allowed to carry it. But in a Carmelis, where there you're not allowed to carry it, even within 4 amas, which that's not a, although you're not allowed to carry more than 4 amas in the Carmelis, but within 4 amas you're allowed to carry. There, it's not so common to find vessels, and therefore it's not fit to cover it as anything, so therefore it has no status at all. Since it's a broken, it's just a piece of a shard of pottery, we don't view it as having a status of a kli, because it's only a kli, because it could be used as a covering. But in a Carmelis, where it can't be used as a covering, because there's no kelim, there it's going to be muktzah, there it's different. So that was Rav Nachman, the name of Shmuel. Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says his own opinion, says, no, I feel a bit Carmelis, even the Carmelis, you're allowed to move it. And that is, since it's not a public domain, it's not a Rosh Rabbim, it does happen that people want to sit there, and therefore you can use the piece of pottery to cover where, let's say, it's dirty or this spit, so you'll use that to cover the floor that you can sit over there, so therefore it does have purpose, and therefore we view it as a kli that you can move it. But in Rosh Hashanah that has no purpose, there it is, muktzah. Rava says, no, even Rosh Hashanah. And why is that? There has no purpose whatsoever. It's not to use to cover kelim because there's no kelim. People are not sitting in the public domain because the people just don't sit there. So therefore, it doesn't have that purpose. So why in Rosh Hashanah could you move it? And the reason is, since in a courtyard it's a vessel, as we said before, because there it's usable. So therefore, everywhere we say it doesn't lose its status of a vessel. As the Gemara brings a story to illustrate that Rava used this principle to say that even Rosh Hashanah we consider it as a kli. Rava goes according to his opinion, as the following story illustrates. The Rava have a ka'ozla briska the Mechuzah. Rava was going in the name of a certain public thoroughfare in Mechuzah. Asvasoi misonitin, his shoes got dirty with mud. Asa Shammai, so his attendant came, shokel chaspa v'kom mechapali, took a piece of pottery, and he started taking them and cleaning off his Rebbe's boots. Rama bei Rabban Nikola, so the Rabbi started screaming, what do you mean, smoke tzah, how can you touch it? So Amma, so Rava said, says, these rabbis, not only did they not learn properly what's mutter and what's asr, but migmanab gemir, they're even teaching others what's prohibited, and they're going and spreading their false understandings to others, and they're saying that it's asr. Says, look, ilu b'chatzah havit, had this shard been in the courtyard, miloy have a chazi l'chsui b'moni, wouldn't you agree that it would have a status of a vessel because it's fit to use as a covering of a kli? So hachanami chazle today, here also it's fit for me to use it to wipe. And that is, although that's not so commonly found, and we shouldn't give it a status of a kli because of that, but he's saying that since in the courtyard we view this shard as a covering, as a status of a kli, so here also doesn't lose it no matter where it's going to be. On this topic, the Gemara brings, Amr Yehuda Meshmul, Meguvas Chavis, the lid of a barrel, Shenichtisa, that now the barrel broke. Mutl talta b'Shabbos, you're allowed to move the lid covering on Shabbos. As the Gemara explained, Tanim Hach is similar in the Braisa. Mugufa, regarding a lid of a barrel, shenechdesa, that the barrel broke, he, the lid of the barrel, b'shavarea, and the broken pieces of the barrel, all of them mutl talat l'b'shabbat, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. And the reason is, as we just mentioned before, because since it could be used, even the broken pieces, to be used as a covering, and the covering for sure could be used as a covering, therefore these items are not considered muktzah, and you can move it on Shabbos. However, however, you have to be careful not to fix one of the broken pieces, that is to take off the jagged edges that are there, because if you're going to do that, then you're creating it into a kli, and that's considered makam patish. When you fix an item perfectly, that is considered you're completing an item, which completing an item is always the malocha deraisa of makam patish. That you cannot do, as the Gemara says, lechasas ba'as a kli, if you want to use it to cover a vessel, v'lismach ba'kari mita, and to support the legs of a bed. Again, you can use the item itself, but you can't fix it if you want to do that, because again, that would be creating and finishing off an item which is makabe patish. However, if you throw in the garbage, that's going to be asr. That is because then you just, you're mevatlet from the status of a vessel, because you're saying obviously it's a broken piece. For you, it has no utility. And if you throw it in the garbage, you're mevatlet. Now it's going to be muktzah. The Gemara asks, maskelor av papa. Elamiata, if that's the case, zarkli leklima, if you take your shirt and you throw it into the garbage on Shabbos, hachinami da'asa, what, you can tell me that it's going to be forbidden to use it? That's muktzah? What do you mean? It's a usable item. If it's usable, who cares that now when you throw it in that it shouldn't be considered usable, but it has utility? Just like a shirt's not going to become muktzah if you throw it in the garbage. Elam Rapapa, rather, Rapapa says, we continue on the top of Kaf Chafei Amen Aleph, rather, if you threw it into the garbage from before Shabbos, then you're ready with Magal Yer Das, yesterday before Shabbos started. It's not a vessel, then Asur, then it's going to be Asur. A shirt always has utility. But this item, again, is dependent on the person, if it has utility or not. So if it's on Shabbos, it's a vessel, you cannot negate it from the status of a vessel once Shabbos started. But if before Shabbos you threw in the garbage, then already it's garbage, and it has no utility, then we're going to say that it's muktzah, and that's the difference if it's from before Shabbos or on Shabbos.